Good morning. Welcome to our service here this morning, and welcome also to those who join us online. This morning, we begin a new month. We also begin a new series of teaching in our sermon series. It's helping us to understand the characters and aspirations of those who surround the Christmas story, which seems awful early to be thinking about, but there are a lot of characters to be gone through. Let's pray as we start this morning. Almighty and eternal God, you kindled the flame of love in the hearts of the saints. Grant to us the same faith and power of love, that as we rejoice in their triumphs, may we be sustained by their example and fellowship. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. The birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was a barren, and they were both well on in years. Once Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by law, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people."
Thank you, Hannah. So Zechariah, whenever I asked the question, who was Zechariah? And one of the answers she shouted back was that he was a priest. He was. But what exactly did that mean? What did it mean that Zechariah was a priest? Well, normally they lived on a farm. They farmed the land that they lived on because that had been set aside for the priests. It was a way in which they could have income. It was a way in which they supplemented the tithes and the offerings that they received through the temple. And part of that duty then was that he was to fulfill his... So lots of the... One of the tribes of Israel, some of them are allocated to be priests, to look after the sacrificial life, the sacramental life of the nation of Israel. And so Zechariah came from one of those tribes. And he was then to perform duties in the temple at least three times a year. So his duties would have meant that he would have oversaw the feasts, the festivals, and the general running of the temple for the thousands of Jews who came to it every year for each of those feasts and those festivals and that procession of people up to the temple. Does anybody remember the story of whenever Mary and Joseph lost Jesus and they couldn't find him? Yeah? And then they went looking for him and he was with another. Where was he? He was in the temple. They thought he was with other people in the throng of the crowd on the way home from the temple. But Jesus had stayed in the temple. That's one of those feasts, one of those festivals that the nation of Israel were traveling up to. His wife Elizabeth was also part of a priestly family. So this idea of this sacramental life, this idea of them looking after the nation of Israel's spiritual life, if you like, it was part of their DNA. It was part of this family's blood. It was in them. It ran through them for generations and generations. It was what they did because each tribe had a different role in the life of the nation of Israel. But this couple had grown old and beyond their years, and they'd even longed for a child. Verse 7 tells us this. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well on in years. And often that's the point that we stop at or that we consider or that we think about whenever we think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then we think about God has gifted them with a child in their old age. And the child became John the Baptist. Verse 6, which we skipped over there, says something completely different. Verse 6 says this. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Isn't that a lovely description? They were upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. This is really, really important. And it's really important that we don't skip over it whenever we think about the person that is Zechariah. Because the fact that they couldn't have children in that society came with a great stigma. And it was seen as a judgment on the couple. So this description that is attributed to them, that they were both upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, this description is key to seeing that whatever stigma the society around them placed on them was simply not true in the Lord's eyes. He viewed this couple, this priest Zechariah, completely differently from everybody else around him. Now, verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot. So the tribe that he came from was the priestly tribe. They were divided into divisions, and they each took their division, took their turns to go up to the temple and provide their duties. And then they were cast lots to see which one would do the ultimate duty. So he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. This opportunity to perform this particular task as a priest came once in a lifetime, if at all. Many priests would have lived and died and never got the opportunity to do this. I suppose, in one sense, in priestly terms, it was almost as if he had won the lottery. It would be that kind of, the odds were stacked against him. But yet, in this moment, he has been chosen. This was Zechariah's moment. And the others thronged outside, as we heard in verse 10, because he was the only one who was allowed into the presence of the Lord. Everybody else is now standing outside. And only Zechariah is allowed in to burn incense in the presence of the Lord. That's a key moment. Not only in his life, but in the life of the nation of Israel. This is a moment where the sins of the whole nation is atoned for. This is a special, holy moment. a moment not to be disturbed. Everybody else is outside. They're thronging about, as it says in verse 10. A special moment not to be disturbed, and then the angel turns up. You can almost just imagine, it's like, what? How'd you get in here? Everybody's supposed to be outside. What are you doing here? But the Lord has a habit of turning up at the most important of times. Often we imagine the Lord turns up at the most difficult times in our lives. Often that's the time that we seek him to turn up. But through the pages of Scripture, we see that the Lord turns up at some of the highest and most important times in the lives of the people that are told in the Scriptures. And the same is with us. He turns up in the good moments as well as the bad moments. And what does the angel say? Do not be afraid. In verse 12. 13. Do not be afraid. Why do angels always say that? Every time an angel turns up, their first word is, do not be afraid. I mean, everybody must go, whoa! Who are you? Why are you here? Wow, whoa, look at the wings. Oh, wow, you're so bright. Oh. As we said earlier, what if an angel turned up amongst us today? What would our reaction be? But here's the other key important part. Whenever the angel turns up, and the first thing they always say is, do not be afraid. Do you know what phrase is found, do not be afraid, 365 times in the Bible? Do your own calculations. Might that be God saying to us once every single day, do not be afraid. I've got this. I'm present. I'm here. And so, in this moment, Zechariah has reached the pinnacle of his priestly service. This is the point that the priest would have dreamt of, thought about, pondered upon, ruminated, dreamt of. He's there. He's in this moment. Not only that, but an angel has appeared to him. This has been unheard of for the last 400 years. And he's chosen Zechariah to appear to. And not only that, but the angel delivers a very important message. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you're to give him the name John, and he'll be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Your prayers have been heard. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Your prayers have been heard. And the literal translation of it is more heard than answered. That the Lord has heard the pleas and the cries of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Likely to mean probably that, you know, he prayed this prayer a lot. He'd never seen any answer to it. He'd never known it had been heard. But he kept on praying it. I wonder how many prayers you, preacher included, have stopped praying because you felt they hadn't been heard. Or where would you be if the prayer that you prayed in your teens, in your 20s, in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s had been answered? Maybe we look back and see a less mature side of ourselves in our spiritual growth. I know some of the prayers I prayed in my teens and in my 20s. If they had come true in that moment, my life would have taken a completely different turn of events. But I'm so glad that I am where I am. In fact, I'm so glad that I can say, as with C.S. Lewis, if God had granted all the silly prayers I had prayed, where should I be now? So whenever Zechariah finished his duty, towards the end of the reading that Hannah read for us, He finished his duty. The people were astonished. But the best was yet to come. The best was yet to come. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. For 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he's shown his favour and taken away my disgrace amongst all people. And the story continues. If you read on in Luke chapter 1, and if you go home today, read on, you will read the rest of the story whenever John the Baptist is being born. And all the neighbours gather around him, as is the custom, and they say he must be called Zechariah after his father. That's the tradition of our tribe. Elizabeth's going, no, he's to be called John. And Zechariah can't speak. He's silenced because he did not believe the angel. And so he asks for a tablet. And he writes, his name is John. And when he writes that, something amazing happens. He's given his voice back. Whenever he follows what the Lord has laid out for him, he's given his voice back. And what a change in this old man. If you read the story, you will see the change in the old man. He seemed to recognize how blessed he was. He begins a new song. You read it in the rest of chapter, Luke chapter 1. He sings a song to the Lord. His voice becomes huge. Fear no longer inhibits him. His new voice was greater, stronger, and more honoring to God than what it was before he was silenced. He sang a new song, knowing that he had a small part to play in God's big story, a story that would change the world forever. What about you? Are you ready to play your small part in God's big story? A story that can change the world forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you invite us to play a part in your big story. And your big story does not exclude us, but it calls us and invites us to be a part of it. And we know that whenever you invite, you not only gift us and enable us, give us words to say and actions to do, but you lay it out before us. So, Lord, maybe step into the part that you have for us this week and in this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just pray as we finish. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so as you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore.